So I'm going to have to speak over the rain in case the rain gets noisy. There was a picture, image that I showed you guys a few weeks ago of, and I don't know how well it's going to feature because I actually asked AV to do it during worship. Okay, perfect. So God comes to dwell inside of our spirit and we become born again. Our spirit becomes regenerated. Jesus said that he said to Nicodemus, you can't enter the kingdom of God unless you become born again. So when you become born again, God comes to dwell inside of our spirit. So we are absolutely saved, made perfect. And then we spoke about how that God in us, God changes us from the inside out. All other religions change from the outside in. You make yourself good on the outside to make the inside good. Jesus does it the other way around. He changes on the inside, and then slowly that shows on the outside. So you can't be saved. You are saved by faith alone, justified by faith alone, but faith doesn't stand alone. It will stand with justification because there cannot be a change on the inside without there also being a change on the outside. Matthew 23:26 says that blind Pharisee first clean the inside of the cup and then the outside also will be clean. There's a guarantee that the outside will be clean as well. So you just need to, as Tanya and the other guys, Joe and the guys were sharing, just let the Holy Spirit do His work. But as Donna said, you got to surrender. You got to let that process, and it's driven by the Holy Spirit. It's not driven by you, but you got to yield to that work. You got to let that natural process happen. And then we... a key scripture for that is Hebrews 10:14, and we looked at that as well. So it says, because by one sacrifice, Jesus dying on the cross, He has made perfect forever. So in one moment, you are made perfect forever by the cross, by receiving His forgiveness by faith. Justification, just as if you never sinned. So you're perfect right now before the Lord. Just keep that up, Ash. So you're made perfect forever. Right now, you're perfect forever. But those who are being made holy, being as a verb, you see that there's another process's work that God's making your lives holy. So right there in that single scripture, you see justification, just as if you never sinned, and sanctification, being made holy or being made sanctified, working together. There's two pillars, and don't mix them. Corin shared earlier that we don't walk by human effort, but we're actually called to good works. But those good works are not justifying our faith, justifying our position in Christ. It's by faith alone. So we were all happy with that. We're super happy about that. We're super happy that it's automatic. We're super happy that it's not driven by us and by human efforts. Everyone's super happy. But then we introduced 2 weeks ago the flesh. Unfortunately, we have resistance to this process. We have an automaticness to this process, but we also have a resistance. And that resistance is called the flesh. So I asked Chris to come up because Chris has been taking one for the team continually. So Chris, come up. And Chris is going to represent the flesh today. Okay? He's a beautiful man. He's very secure, so I'm sure it's not going to affect him today. So, Chris, you can stand over there. And Chris is representing the flesh. Okay, so we understand that the power of the flesh has been broken. So, Chris used to control me. This used to control me. So, Chris, just walk anywhere you want. And I just... was led by the flesh. And the whole world is led like this. Okay. Thanks, Chris. You can stay there. But the good news is, and David, you can be the Holy Spirit. And now it says that now, as children of God, we are led by the Holy Spirit. So walk wherever you want. I just walk with the Holy Spirit. All right, thank you. You can stay there, David. Unfortunately, And we spoke about two dogs. I gave the analogy of two dogs. Bear with me, it's just an analogy. And we had the flesh dog and the Holy Spirit dog, yeah? And we said that the flesh dog, and we looked at that scripture, and that was in right back in Genesis, the one that was given to Cain. And it said that, that's Genesis 4, 6 to 7. It said that sin is crouching at your door. And I said that you must mistreat this dog. Do you remember? You must starve this dog so it becomes weaker. And you must feed this dog so that it becomes stronger. Now, unfortunately, you are always with this dog, with the flesh dog. The flesh dog is with you, okay? The difference is, this is the difference. I walk. Now the flesh comes where I want to walk because I've been set free. Chris isn't leading me anymore. Who's leading me? Me. I choose. He doesn't choose. I choose now, okay? But another, and the rain is competing with me, another process has to happen, and that is called death. And it's a good death, and we see it here. So 2 Corinthians 4:10. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death. Anton can be death. But this is a good death. Everyone say good death. Not a bad death. Good death. You're feeling better? Good death. Okay. So I must take Chris and I must take him to death so that Chris can die. I'm going to have one more man here. Nick. Nick, become the new man. This is the new man in Christ, created in holiness and righteousness, and he stands over here. So I need to take Chris, the flesh, to death so that I can become Nick, the new man. There's the old man. There's the new man. Now, Death, just stand over there. Chris over here. So this is where we stand every day. When you wake up in the morning, this is, I know it's very crowded up here, a lot of stuff going on here. But this is what we face every day. Now, Anton, come a little bit closer to me. Okay, that's enough. So I need to say to Chris, Chris, come let us go and die. Cool. No, you don't want it.
Oh, no.
Now, I want Chris to just resist, but you can't resist too much. Okay, so Chris, let us go and die.
Let's not do that.
I want you to look like you're in anguish.
Hey? In anguish?
Yeah. But slowly yield. And that's what we need to do daily. There needs to be a sense. I'll just stay here for a moment. And we see this process. So back on that 2 Corinthians 4:10. So we are always given over to death so that his life may be revealed in our bodies. And this process is so important because the flesh is going to hold us back from the life that God has for us. Okay? Let's give these guys a clap. Thank you. So when we process this idea of dying, look in John 12:24 to 25. So Jesus talks about dying. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Whenever we see in the scriptures are continually about this process of that we must die. Chris, just come up here one more time. Unfortunately, I have Chris for how long? How long do I have Chris? How long do I have the flesh with? As long as I'm in the body. So when I actually die and go to heaven, where does Chris stay? On earth. So in heaven, we don't have the flesh. Okay, does it make sense? But as long as I'm on earth, I've got Chris. Even though I like to starve him and mistreat him, the flesh, right? Remember the analogy. But as long as, yeah. So the problem is that sometimes it's hard to tell how much is Chris and how much is me. All I know is that Chris walks around with me all the time. And anyone who says that you don't are lying to yourself. And that's why he says that we must be free from sin. We must be sinless as a target. But anyone who says that he never sins is a liar, because this man here, this old man, is going to make me want to do things that are against the will of God. And when it says come and die, it's hard to tell sometimes how much is Chris and how much is me. All I know is that we must go die. So just come up and say, who is death? Anton. So when Anton's up there, just stand there. When I look at it and I say, come, let us die, we go. And we die. And that's why it says, take up your cross. What does cross do? Cross kills flesh. So that we can be liberated. David, go stand up again. Who are you again? I was looking for new man. The new man. No, but new man, Holy Spirit, stand together anyway. Okay. Because I want to become the new man in Christ. And this process has to happen. Take up your cross daily. This thing is happening all the time. And there isn't a moment where me and Chris are completely separated. We always, as long as I'm in this body. And Paul says, who will save me from this body of death? Jesus will save me. And that's what Paul is talking about. He's talking about this. Who will save me from this? Amen? Amen. Thanks, guys. They deserve another clap. Thank you for... Sorry, my laptop doesn't recognize me. And I can't remember my pin. Oh my goodness. What is my pin? Oh, this is so embarrassing. Okay, hold on. Let me have another look. Okay, recognize me. Recognize the new man. So Friedrich Bonhoeffer was a guy that lived around World War II, and he was one of the pastors in Germany, and he resisted Hitler, and he eventually ended up being killed and martyred. And he said, if Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. And he's going to say that to every single one of us. If Christ calls us, he bids us to come and die. And we need to embrace that death. We need to embrace that good death. So what I wanted to focus on today as we advancing this topic of the flesh is how your will is involved in this. Because you notice when I had Chris with me, I've been set free from Chris's hold over me. So Chris doesn't lead me around, and the flesh leads the whole world around. But I've been set free, so now I take Chris where I want to go. So my will has been free, which is fantastic news. But we read before that who is showing us where where we must go. Who is leading us into life? So, sorry, I can have these guys up again. Okay, so we've got flesh, we've got new man over there, we've got death. Okay, it's your moment, David. Okay, come over here. So, everyone clear who the players are? The Holy Spirit actually leads me through death to new life. So I actually don't just walk around here because I could just walk aimlessly. I don't know that where is the death that I must die. The Holy Spirit will show me. So the Holy Spirit will lead me to death. See that? And you'll feel daily the Holy Spirit saying, I want this, I don't want that. And just let go of me for a sec, thanks. But my will, I can still decide whether I want to follow David or not. So there's many, many Christians walking around like this. Many. But we are commanded to follow the Holy Spirit. Just walk randomly everywhere, David. No, you can just walk. So I just follow the Holy Spirit. Yeah? And the flesh desires what is opposite to the Spirit, but the power of the flesh is being broken. You notice how submissive David is, how submissive Chris is, because the cross has broken his power over me. So I can follow the Holy Spirit, but I still got to follow the Holy Spirit. That's still my choice. And the Holy Spirit will lead me to death. So that the flesh has died so that I can become the new man. Your role is very simple. The new man. But you guys get it, yeah? Okay, give them another clap. They're up a lot. So it's a very complicated thing that I'm trying to make simple for you. So I'm hoping that as you see the characters, what they represent, that this deep, deep truth becomes clear to you. And the purpose of you dying is to glorify God. And we see it here in John 21, 18, 19. Jesus says to Peter, very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. So Peter was crucified on a cross in Rome, some people say upside down, in around, I think it was AD 70. But Jesus prophesied his death. But he said that when you were young, you dressed yourself. You decided where you want to go. But when you're older, when you're more mature, someone else will dress you. Who's that? The Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will lead you where you don't want to go. Sorry, Chris, just one more time. So when the Holy Spirit's leading me where I don't want to go, it's sometimes I don't know where I end and where Chris begins. And when the Holy Spirit's leading me, just lead me a little bit, David. I can't tell how much is me not wanting to go and how much is Chris, but it's mostly Chris. But where it begins and where it ends, I don't know. All I know is I don't really want to go there because I know, on the other side of David, yeah, because I know where the Holy Spirit's taking me there. I have no confusion about where he's taking me. He's taking me on one place. Where is he taking me? To die. And Peter submitted to the cross. When Peter went to Rome, he knew, but the Holy Spirit was leading him to that place. Are we willing to embrace death so that life can come forth? Thanks, guys. Thanks again. Are we willing? And that's what Paul says. We can understand it in Galatians 2:20. He said, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me or through me. Sorry, one more time. This is getting painful. Okay, up again. Holy Spirit up. Okay. That's enough. So the Holy Spirit obviously reflects Jesus. So it's no longer I who live. I don't decide where I walk, but Christ who lives in me or through me. So now, because our will determines our lives. So how are our lives being determined now? By the Holy Spirit. I am no longer living. Walk somewhere else. I could, now I'm living. Now some Christians live, and it actually says some Christians are enemies of the cross. Why? Because they don't want to die. Many of us don't want to die. And then the cross becomes a something we don't like. But I've got to follow and be willing to die. And that's why I'm crucifying Chris, yeah. You guys are getting it. So thanks, guys. So Paul is saying, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And we know that even Jesus demonstrated in Luke 22:42, Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but your will be done. Are we willing? Who led Jesus into the desert? Now, he has an interesting question. Did Jesus have the flesh? He didn't have the flesh, but he had a body. So he had a different version of Chris. George. So he didn't have a sinful nature. Jesus didn't have a sinful nature, but he had he still had a body. Do you think his body was looking forward to the pain of the cross? Do you think his body wanted to starve in the desert for 40 days? So Jesus felt not the temptation or the pull of the flesh. He felt the pull of the body. So there's layers there. Thank you, George. You can get a clap as well. Now, who led Jesus into the desert? Matthew 4:1. Jesus was led by the Spirit. So even Jesus is allowing himself to be led by the Spirit so that his body can go through pain and suffering, but not so that he can grow into something, but that he can prove something. And did he prove something? Yes, because he passed the tests of the flesh or the body. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. The lust of the eyes, Satan showed him all the kingdoms of the earth. The lust of the flesh, take this food, take this rocks and make them into bread. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Show you are the Son of God. Throw yourself down to prove. What's that? Pride. Did Jesus pass the tests? He passed the test so that he could be the perfect sacrifice, so that where we failed on lust of the eyes and lust of the flesh and the pride of life, he won so that he could stand in our place, and I passed the test and I proved. But he was led by the Holy Spirit, and he asked us to be led by the Holy Spirit too. Isn't that amazing? Thank you, Jesus. Aren't you glad that Jesus passed the test? Because if he hadn't passed the test, he couldn't have been a sacrifice for us. He would have been disqualified, but he was qualified for the cross. And no man since or future, only one was found worthy. Remember they said, who is worthy? For who in heaven, who is worthy? He's worthy because he lived in the body of a man. He lived in the body of a man so that it's easy if he could have just sat in heaven and been, but he came and lived the life and said, I'll live the life. That's why he's sympathetic to us. He goes, I know what it feels like. I know what it feels like, that your weakness. But he proved and overcame. Now, I'm actually coming in to land this plane, believe it or not, but let's see how we go. How can we know? So who was Holy Spirit again? It was David. Okay, David, come up, please. How can we know where to follow the Holy Spirit if we don't know what the Holy Spirit is thinking? We need to know what the Holy Spirit's thinking. Thanks, man. So we see this, I don't know if I've got the scripture now, but it says that the mind that is controlled by the Spirit is life and peace, but the mind that's controlled by the flesh is death. So our minds need to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. We need to know what the Holy Spirit is thinking. And the good news is that we actually can have the thoughts of God. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, but we have the mind of Christ. So we do have God's thoughts, and we see how the Holy Spirit reveals the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2, 9-11. Rather, it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of man except his own spirit within him? So too, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. So know that the Holy Spirit is revealing the mind of God, what God wants. Sorry, this is getting super painful. Let's all have the whole crew up. George, I don't need you now. Okay, so I didn't practice this, so if it's messy, that's fine. So so I'm here. I need to get to Nick. Okay? I need to find out what God wants so that I can get over there. How do I get over there if I don't know what God wants? So I need to inquire of the Lord. David, where would you like to walk? Not there? Are you sure? That looks so good.
Let's go there.
Okay. I know, I kind of feel like I want to go there,
yeah.
But the Holy Spirit must go there. So I want to go there. I find out that the Holy Spirit wants to go here. Okay, thanks, guys. They're getting so much exercise. It's ridiculous.
Can I say one thing on that?
Yeah.
Sorry. Even as you just said that, I think I was reminded of Jesus is like saying stuff with his disciples, and then a lot of the guys are leaving, and then he says to the disciples, what do you say? Simon Peter says, Lord, where shall we go? You alone hold the words of eternal life. And I felt that as well. It's like, as we're following Jesus, it's like, where else could we go? It actually doesn't need to be a mystery. I feel like, Jesus said this, let's just follow it. Like, it doesn't need to be confusing. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Very good. So we see it in 2 Samuel 2:1. David is inquiring of the Lord. It says, in the course of time, David inquired of the Lord, shall I go up to one of the towns of Judah, he asked. The Lord said, go up. David asked, where shall I go? To Hebron, the Lord answered. It's very, very important for us that we're discerning the will of God in our lives. We need to find out what the Lord has for us. And you can see it with David, how much he was involved. And you can see that his will was completely submitted to God. He wasn't like, where should I go? And God says this, and he says, are you sure? He just does it. Are we just doing it? If the Lord says this way, are we just doing it or are we resisting? And this is one of the problems of the flesh. And I had a dream. And in the dream, I had it after I prepped this preach about a week ago. And the Lord actually said to me, he showed me how much of the world is controlled by the flesh. And he actually showed me how much the flesh is operating in our lives. And I think it's easy for us to, you know, just see that the flesh is like sexual morality, then it's obvious, you know, or stealing, then it's obvious, or lying is obvious. But I think the flesh controls us a lot more than we think. And I remember about 10 years ago, we came from Bali to South Africa, and I had a phone, okay? But this phone was in 2011, if the younger people can bear with me. The phone that I had then was not a beautiful phone like this. The phone that I had was a total brick, okay? Now, if you guys don't know, you know, phones have gone through trends, you know? Sometimes they're supposed to be big, then they're supposed to be small. Who remembers the when they used to be super small? And then there was that movie where they were like so tiny. What was that? Don't have a clamshell. But what was that movie that they had that phone, they were ripping off that phone that was Zoolander. So all the models in Zoolander had tiny little phones like this because in those days, phones were good to be tiny, okay? But generally, people hated big, fat phones, okay? I know the screens got really big, but the joke was, you know, some guys had to walk with the battery for the phone in a wheelbarrow because the phones were, like, so bad, big and bulky in those days. So I had one of those phones, okay? Just this big, bulky, ugly phone. And then one day, Samsung released the S3. Who remembers the S3? This was a marvel of engineering. I remember the first time at a braai seeing the S3. And it was the most magnificent thing I've seen since Donna. It was so amazing. It was so thin. The colors were so bright. And my flesh wanted it. I was freaky how much I wanted this phone. But I knew I could just feel this thing. I want this thing. And in those days, I had to get a contract. I definitely could not afford. And these days, probably neither either. But you heard about my holiday up the West Coast, whereas some of the more wealthy elders are overseas. This contract was going to bankrupt me. I remember if I had to sign up for that S3, my finances were going to be a mess. I wanted that so much, so I inquired of the Lord. Lord, I want the S3 desperately, but not like today. I want it yesterday. I want this phone. It's so pretty. It's so awesome. I just want it in my pocket. And the Lord said, wait a year. A year. 365 days. You know how long that is? I want it yesterday, Lord. Did you hear me? Not even today. I've already waited 24 hours. 365 days you wait for that phone. So I inquired of the Lord. I'm not going to call you up again. David, the Holy Spirit revealed to me his will. Wait a year. Actually, sorry, let's get you up. Okay. Chris wants the S3. Okay, we need you up as well, Anton. Okay. You might as well get up as well. You're somewhere over there. Chris wants the S3. This is definitely Chris. Okay?
None of you. Oh, I want the S3.
Okay. I inquire of the Lord. We want the S3.
Gonna wait. A year.
This is death.
I'm dead.
Sorry. Oh, well. Thank
sorry, confusion.
Okay, sorry. So, there we go. Okay,
we want the S3.
Wait a year.
Don't wait a year. You want it now.
So, I've inquired of the Lord. I found out that I have to wait a year. So now I decide to follow the Holy Spirit or go get the S3 and be bankrupt. Okay? I decide, and I tell you what, many Christians don't do this, myself included, a lot. We decide to follow the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will lead us to death. I died for a year. Do you know how painful it was without that S3? For a year, I'm in the hands of death. And he's killing this desire for the S3 in me. Oh, 1 year of death. Well done. And Chris is dying.
I'm dying.
And then after a year, the flesh was completely dead. You can just sit down. And then the Lord gave me the S3 after a year. Hallelujah.
Made it.
Do you see the process? And I was not bankrupt. I could afford it then. Do you know how much debt we've been talking about finances the flesh leads us into? Because we want stuff. We want a better car, not just go A to B. We want A to B in style. We don't want a house that's enough. We want better clothes, we want better, and the TV is constantly in the internet and our phones are constantly showing us shiny things that Chris wants. And we're not following Chris, we're following, who's the Holy Spirit? We're following David. So we need to decide, I want what David wants. Are we each going to decide what David wants? Because if you want what David wants, you're going to have to get Anton. But without David and without Anton, you can't have Nick. And this thing here is maybe gives you a better understanding of what it is to be given over to death so that life. Because the flesh wants what is opposite to the spirit, and the spirit what is opposite to the flesh. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's wrap there. Thanks, guys. Let's give them a clap. It's a very, very complicated process, but I'm hoping that through that, seeing it like that, you can understand what has to happen so that you can come into the things that the Lord has for you. When the Lord showed me that we are so guided by the flesh so much, I tell you, you've got to wrestle this thing out yourselves, each one of us. And each one of us has got our own stuff, hey? Are you satisfied with your wife? Are you satisfied with your husband? Are you content? Or will you follow the flesh and you want someone else? You know how much sexual immorality is caused by the flesh because they're not satisfied. I'm talking about adultery. They're not satisfied with your husband or your wife. If the Lord has called you to singleness, and that can be a glorious thing, but you say, I just want to get married. And usually, if that's the process, you know, the Lord doesn't have any problem with you getting married. But if the Lord just said to you, are you willing to be single? You might, that's a dying process. You know, sometimes people say, I just want to get married. And when they get married, they say, I just want to be single. You know, the grass is greener on the other side. There's pros and cons to everything. Are you happy in your job? Maybe the job that you're in right now is the job that the Lord wants for you. But are you looking over the fence and saying, I want that other thing? What's driving that? Is it the Holy Spirit showing you, or is it your personal ambition? Are you satisfied? You know, that dog is crouching at the door, calling to you. And you need to discern the Holy Spirit. You need to discern His voice. And you need to be cognizant of the flesh at work in your lives. I would encourage each one of us to hold that in our conversations. We were in Bali the one time earlier. I was working with some missionaries over there, and they were choosing a site for a possible training center. And I remember looking at this beautiful hill overlooking the ocean. And I was with the Indonesian pastor, who is a man that walks by the Spirit. And then there was another discreet location in the forest, down in the valley. And actually, that was much better because Indonesia is quite a hectic Christianity persecuting place. So actually, that would have been a much more suitable site. But I looked at the site on the hill and I went, oh, that is such an awesome site. And he looked at me and went, that's just the flesh. And I was like, I'd never forget it. Because sometimes you just need to discern the flesh. The flesh doesn't want what the Holy Spirit does. You've got to constantly be in each other's lives, really constantly, because the Lord wants righteousness and peace and joy for us. And the flesh wants all kinds of other stuff. If you can put yourself under the yoke of Jesus, and the yoke of Jesus is a cross, take up your cross. If you can submit yourself to that and say, not my will, but your will be done, God is going to lead you into something incredible. But if you're going to say, I just want to do whatever I want to do, you're going to, the devil's going to steal you from all the things that he has for you. Can you submit your will to the Holy Spirit and let him kill flesh in you? Can you give yourself over to death? As Frederick Bonhoeffer said, if Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die so that life can come forth.